Hey everybody, it's John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I literally record right here in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach. This week, we're talking all about conferences, presentations, proposals, the process of thinking about submitting, calls for applications, all that stuff, as well as what you could expect when you give your presentations if you're new to it, and some tips from somebody who's done it a few times so we can kind of, pay it forward for the next generation of conference presenters. They're a big part of the education racket or the education circuit or maybe just the process of learning. So we'll talk about those in detail today. But first, some housekeeping notes. If you like what you're hearing, feel free to subscribe to the podcast or give it a nice rating on your favorite podcasting app. It helps other people find the podcast. We have a new episode every Monday, and they're typically about 11 minutes long in bumper-to-bumper traffic, which is a great time for me to come up with some ideas based on what I'm reading and seeing and interacting with in Twitter and blogs and audiobooks and just PD reads. A big part of my job is breathing all that stuff in, so I use these to kind of breathe it out and start a dialogue. If you like what you're hearing, you can message me on Twitter at mehanedu, or you can head to my website, www.adrenalinerush.com. That's like educational adrenaline with an E. And I have a book. It's called Adrenaline Rush, Game-Changing Student Engagement, inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. I'm excited to change the game in education, so I want to help pay it forward. And as an instructional coach, I work with teachers in all different content areas. So I figure, hey, let's just talk about it and ways we can keep it going. Tweet at me. I'm, like I said, at mehanedu, and I will gladly catch up with you. We can talk about other ways that you're doing it and changing it and mixing it up so we can make everybody better. Rising tide lifts all ships, as they say. But today, we're talking about conferences, proposing session proposals, calls for submissions, presentations, format, ideas, and ways to get to conferences and ways to get them paid for by your administration, by your Title II funds, if you have that. And then when you get there, sort of things to keep in mind. A bit about conferences. I deliver a lot of presentations at conferences, but I didn't start by delivering. I started by attending, and I still attend a bunch of conferences that I don't present at. I mentioned it in my book, but in about 5 years from my job, I've traveled a lot for conferences. And it's not to brag, it's just to talk about this is what I do for my job. So bouncing between city to city when they have education conferences, whether that's ASCD, which is the big one, ISTE, of course, is another huge one. There's the National Council of Teachers of English, which is in Baltimore this year. There's the National Catholic Education Association, because I'm a Catholic school. There's smaller independent conferences. There's these independent tech conferences like FETC, Future of Education Technology Conference. That'll be in Miami this coming year. I did work with the Gates Foundation, so I was in Seattle. There was the ESET 2 conference, which is the Elevating and Celebrating Effective Teachers in Teaching. They have those now at the state level. They used to have national conferences as well. That was, I think, in New Orleans. I've been there. But I travel a lot for my job. The planet is only 24,000 miles around. And I shouldn't say only. That's a lot of miles. But in about 5 years for my job, I traveled about 36,000 miles. And that's like a time and a half around the planet by air. I say that to say, reading is breathing in and writing is breathing out, right? So, like, I gather a lot of information at these conferences. So I feel like I'm in a place where I can talk about what I've seen. And if you work for Johnson & Johnson or you work for, Boeing, to say you traveled around the planet a time and a half in 5 years is nothing. They probably do that in a day and a half. People who are rock stars, people who are performers, people who are movie stars, certainly they travel all the time. But for my little, Catholic school in the middle of, a small place in Virginia, to say that I've brought that much experience to my job is helpful, because that is a very, rare thing that a school is able to pay for that much PD and put all that stuff between your ears. The challenge, of course, is that if you win the lottery or, get abducted by aliens, get run over by a bus, all that information in your ears is gone. And so I really want to, wherever possible in my own school, try to build systems to pay it forward. One of the reasons why I started blogging, one of the reasons why I started writing, is really just because it was the same conversations again and again and again and again. And I wanted to get it out on paper because, I don't know what my job looks like tomorrow. Nothing's guaranteed, right? And at any minute, anybody could be anywhere. So I figured sharing it was a good idea. So that's what this podcast is about today. We'll talk about ways to share ideas for conferences. What I would tell you, the first tip is you have to have a keen eye on your calendar. There are certain calls for submissions or calls for proposals or open, seasons. They have very hard and fast deadlines for when they close. And when they close, that's it. There's no second shot at it. Think about, from the big game plan. Think about maybe 3 to 5 conferences that you're interested in. For me, it's always ASCD's National Empower Conference. It's the National Council of Teachers of English. It's ISTE. It's the National Catholic Education Association. And I try to pick like one or two others that are at that, you know, bigger level. What I do then is fire up a Microsoft Word document in the past, and now like a Google document or a calendar in the future, and just make a list of when their submission dates or their calls for proposals window closes. Because the sooner you put that on your calendar, the sooner you'll remember to do it. Can't get accepted to a conference if you don't actually put in those proposals. And sometimes those conferences book up like 8 months, 10 months before they actually go live. So that's a big thing. Like, it's like registering for a marathon at an advanced race. You really have to make sure you have that on your calendar as a big first tip. When you're putting them in, do make sure that your submissions are complete. I know that sounds obvious, but a lot of times they'll ask for a bunch of different things. Some places ask you to put in a video submission, like an additional teaching piece where you talk about it. Others will have you talk about like an author bio, or you need to put like a, you know, like learning objectives. And so you definitely want to make sure that you have each of those pieces filled out. Typically, these conferences have like online portals, which is good because they really do have like the checkbox list. They won't let you submit it if you don't have all of those pieces done. But follow those rules. If they say it's a minute long video, don't submit a minute and a half video. They have a lot of submissions to look through. It's not unlike when you're applying to college. The average essay, they say, in college is looked at for like less than a minute. And you don't want to give people reasons to give you a disqualification because you've done something that is against any sort of rules. Likewise, with my session titles, I try to be attention grabby, maybe even a little bit more, not tabloidy, but like a little bit of clickbait. You want people to see that thing and lean in. Because again, you only have like 10 seconds to grab their attention or less while they're scrolling through the app or looking through the printed pamphlet of all the different session titles. So if I call a session Student Engagement for the 21st Century Classroom, or like 10 Ways to Engage Students Today, which one sounds like it's going to be the one that's going to grab attention, right? It's the same presentation. It's just packaged a little bit differently. Like, my book is called Adrenaline Rush, right? You can tell right there from the name, if I've done my job right, that there's energy, there's excitement, but it's also a play on the idea of, like, education and adrenaline, right? And that, for me, is good because in just two words, you pretty much know it's about Adrenaline Rush, game-changing student engagement. Feels like, oh, getting fired up, getting excited, and I'll use some variation of that title often when I'm presenting. But I've done other things, like I gave one today, you know, or yesterday, presentation in a conference, where instead of saying like, you know, 10 tricks to engage your students or 15 tricks to engage your students, I called it Mini Game Madness, 13 no prep activities for any course, any content area. Things like that, like words like, say, no prep, right? They're really fast, really actionable, and teachers can see themselves really fired up at it. Numbers work, like excitement works. Unless you go present to the, you know, like very, very serious, very like scholarly, very academic conferences, in which case you might need to do the thing that has the colon, right? You know, where you say the name of your presentation, colon, a very detailed description of. But the problem is so many of these things often have like a character set or a word count. So you have to be very careful to kind of make it short, make it punchy, and make that point as fast as you can. It helps for me that I worked in media for a long time, writing headlines and copy for press releases and stories, things like that. So I think like newspaper style headlines, what'll be the thing that gets people to read in? Likewise, your session descriptions, certainly you should have your lead, like your first couple of words, should be the thing that brings people, that call to action, with very clear learner objectives. In this session, people will learn how to X and Y and Z. Dave Burgess talks about that in his book, Teach Like a Pirate. Like, there's a lot of sessions at conferences, and it's not a knock on the presenters, they're just written in a very dry way. But the first thing you're doing is almost making a commercial for yourself when you put in that conference proposal. So if you could build in a little bit of, you know, intrigue, a little bit of hype, a little bit of excitement, it's going to get people to raise an eyebrow and want to learn a little bit more about your session. Because you usually only have about 500, words or so to make your session description. Likewise, very clear verbs for your learner objectives are really helpful. Students will leave this class with the ability to X, Y, Z. I want to say in the presentation, like, teachers will leave this session with, you know, the ability to X, Y, Z. Look at your Bloom's taxonomy sentence starters. Don't say they'll have an understanding of and an understanding of and an understanding of. But, like, pick action-oriented verbs. Like, they'll have things like planning tools and resources or, you know, like, actionable things they can put in their classroom, plug-and-play, activities, ability to discuss or understand or, like, download or create, right? Those activities that are going to walk people away with more than just a, here's something to think about, but like, hey, I can make this change happen today. And that's what I try to do in this podcast. Every week I try to give just about 11 minutes where it's just, here's a thing you can do today. Like, let's not get too theoretical about it, but let's get, you know, action oriented. And then when you hit that submit button, you kind of cross your fingers and you wait. And there's a lot of fish in the sea. And I would say that if you want to cut your teeth presenting at conferences, consider local conferences for your school, for your district, for your diocese. A lot of times your school admin team is very happy to host other people to your school to show off the cool things that you're doing. Talk to your principal team, talk to your admin team and say, hey, I have all these ideas. I know I can't take all this time away from school, but are there ways that I can get involved in presentations? Sometimes those are summer opportunities where they can, you know, have a summit at your school and have, you know, 50 or 100 people come on by for an afternoon training or a day training. If you can't do that, there's ed camps, right? Going to ed camps, there's no leader in those spaces. It's just a chance for dialogue. But you can feel yourself in the room developing like your presentation style because you're not doing it with a PowerPoint. It's much more dialogic. And you can get a feel for the type of things that get you fired up. And then go online looking for the types of conferences that lead in those areas, whether it's social emotional learning or it's you know, things like educational psychology, motivational behavioral stuff, technology certainly. There's a lot of conferences out there. And leaning into those spaces is a really helpful way to kind of feel where your niche is. Likewise, getting these things funded, oftentimes if you are a selected presenter at the conference, they'll give you free registration to the conference. That's awesome. And then talking to your admin team before you submit and say, hey, I want to submit to this conference. It's a while off yet, but if I could, X, Y, Z. Sometimes you have to take a personal day because that's just how schools work. Other times they're really happy to trot their people out and brag about it in their newsletter, like, hey, or their, you know, to their constituents, to their, you know, families. We have people presenting at national conferences. That's a big, big thing, especially if you're in smaller schools looking for good publicity. It's an awesome way to raise the brand awareness of what your school is doing. And oftentimes you can get that stuff paid for with PD budgets or with Title II money, or you can launch, you know, like those teachers, you know, teachers, donors choose projects where you say, hey, I was selected as a presenter for this XYZ conference. I have these great things to share, but I need a little bit of help. And you'd be surprised. A lot of people are really able and willing to get those things funded accordingly. And don't quit, right? That's why I guess my last tip on it is start with the small stuff local to you. If you have to drive an hour to the nearest ed camp or 2 hours to the nearest, you know, local conference, it's worth it because you get a feel for what good learning looks like. And these things, you know, like anything else, there are people out there who are trying to sell you stuff, but there's a lot of really good teaching resources. I say over and over again, like smartest person in the room is the room. And being in these spaces where you can just be around these people, even if you're not yet presenting at these conferences, go to these conferences, find a way to get one in a year, just so you can kind of get those ideas and be like, hey, I could do something like that. See 3 or 4 presentations in a day. Fill up your sponges and say, I bet I could do something that I could talk about this project in my classroom or this initiative, this activity. And certainly get on Twitter because it's a great way to connect with other educators so you can get a feel for the type of things that are happening. A lot of times a live stream or some presentation notes afterwards, the slide deck, and it's a great way to kind of get a feel for, okay, well, that's the type of things that are being picked up. I could do that. And it's not to make money, it's to make an impact, because that's what we do. We don't do this teaching thing to make money. We do it because we want to make a difference. And I think conferences are but one way, but certainly a really powerful way to make that happen. That's it for this week. It's a long one. Thank you so much for paying attention. I hope you like what you're hearing. If you dig it, feel free to subscribe on the podcast app of your choice. Message me on Twitter, and I'll talk to you all next week. Thanks again.